Hello and welcome to the Metapod Podcast, a Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. It's Jake and Sean. Sean, how are you doing? Looking my way?
Yeah, I'm looking at you. So we got a comment on the YouTube video. I'm just going to say this now. My mic position for the YouTube viewers has changed. Shout out to the person who commented. I had a different mic mount. And when I look at Jake, because I have two monitors. I'm going to get really into the details here, Jake. I have two monitors.
The nitty gritty.
And one of them has the browser window that we're going to look at open. The other one is our recording software, OBS, and that's where I look at Jake's face because I need to see his reactions to things. But when I look that way, that other mic was like over here going, I can't hear you. Stop this. So
keep in mind that we've been doing that for four years now. So, you know, it's never too late to make a change.
That's right. You know, what's the thing I heard? Like, the best time to change is now, right? That's like, there's a phrase or something like that. Like, you know, the best time to change is right now. And the best time to change otherwise is the moment after right now.
Yeah. There's a time and place for everything. And it was just our time now. But we've got a lot to talk about today in terms of big regional that happened, biggest regional of all time. We got some more information on upcoming cards. We're going to talk, if you didn't notice by the title, thumbnail, description, whatever, we're going to talk about a set coming in soon as the bulk for the podcast, but also we'll talk about some more cards that are coming in the near future. So Sean, did you end up watching any of the Charlotte Regional Championships this past weekend?
I watched every now and again. I saw like snippets of it when I was at my locals. We have a tradition of playing other card games afterwards. And then the person has a TV that they set up for us for like the four or five of us that stay. And whenever there's a regional, we put the regional on the TV. So it's a fun, like I get to watch it with like two or three other people, but you only half watch. So, I did see that Roaring Moon did surprisingly well this weekend. I don't know if it had some pretty good moments. Yeah,
it had some pretty good moments. A little less than 10% of the overall meta in terms of the meta share, four decks in front of it. Charizard, number one deck in the format, 17% in there. Giratina, Lost Zone, 13.5%. Maridon, 12. Roaring Moon, a little under 10. Mew at about 8. And then Gardevoir at about 7.5. And that was like the day one meta share overall, I will say. And then conversion rates going into day two, Roaring Moon went up to 13.5%. So just as you were saying, pretty big jump, did pretty well. I mean, it's pretty nice, in my opinion, when you talk about battling Charizard, right? The one-hit KOs are super, super nice. That's why Giratina as well, right? Giratina went to 18% in day two, also had a high conversion rate, and Charizard went down to 14.5%, which is still respectable in terms of number of the decks in the room. But, you know, the Roaring Moon, the Tina, like Gardevoir as well, like all those things can potentially one-shot like a Charizard and stuff. So it doesn't surprise me that Roaring Moon did it, but it's definitely not the first deck I'd think about that has a pretty good day.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was because Roaring Moon, it came out the gates. It was obviously really popular on TCG Live for all the listeners who probably were playing. It was everywhere. And I think even locals, people were excited about it. And then at least around me, it just kind of fell off real hard. Like, it just underperformed at like challenges and locals and cups. And like, even at regionals, it was like probably a fine deck, but not amazing. And then it just took me by surprise. And to your point though, like if the most popular two decks in particular are Charizard and Giratina V-Star, and you're sitting there like, well, the HPs of those are high enough that it's kind of awkward for a lot of decks, especially Charizard. But here comes this Roaring Moon deck that like, hey, if you're going to throw down a Rotom and or a Lumineon on the bench, well, I'll just eat those up, right, with my Roaring Moon without having to put damage counters on. And then if I need to get through a Charizard, or a Pidgeot or whatever, I can handle that. That's fine. And if I'm taking the prizes before you, then we're good to go, right? Same thing with the Gardevoir, the Giratina deck, because 220 is that perfect number. And if you take that first knockout on a Charizard with the Roaring Moon and you have an Ancient Booster attached, they can't really respond. So you're kind of like, ooh. Yeah, or
Well,
like on Lumineon or a Rotom, I mean.
yeah, and it,
Yeah.
yeah, you definitely have to use that second attack to take like the
A
knockout
Charizard.
on
Yeah.
the on the on whatever, whether it's a two prizer V or the Charizard, because obviously that one attack that's an instant one hit knockout will put you at like 30
Yeah.
HP or whatever, even with the ancient booster. So yeah,
90.
just
So.
making sure we clarify that part before anybody types out in the
No,
comments.
yeah. I mean, my point is you can take two prizes and not put
Yeah.
yourself in range of a return knockout. They might have a lost vacuum, but still, for the most part, you can get there. And then so it just makes the math funny. So I don't know. It shouldn't, I guess, surprise us, but it surprised me a little bit.
It's definitely one of those things too, like you talked about at the local level. A lot of like the local level from my experience in playing the game and living in three different states now since we've done this podcast, three different local communities. A lot of local communities just wait until somebody pops off with the deck and then immediately like pace the deck. So like Ross Cawthon got seventh with Roaring Moon. We don't have his list yet, I don't think.
It's not on
Ross
Limitless, no.
Cawthon, yeah, not on Limitless. Ross Cawthon, the great. What I like to say. So like when if that list ever becomes public, yeah, people will jump all over
Yeah,
it.
people are going to be all over that.
Oh yeah, you'll see it at locals all the time.
But Jake, you wanted to mention a couple of things in particular about this sort of top eight.
First of all, this top eight is stacked, right? We already mentioned Ross Cawthon. There's Isaiah Bradner, who we've talked to, very, very good player. Alex Szymanski, we've talked about him in episodes of the past. Gustavo Wada, I don't even know where to start if you don't know who Gustavo Wada is. And then you have some other great players as well, like Russell Montiero. Russell has had a lot of like top 100 finishes in the Pokemon trading card game. Ryan Miller as well. Ryan Miller, relatively kind of a newer player, got his Limitless page in like 2023 last year, but has plenty of top 100s as well through that. And then going in with Caleb Rogerson and Vinny Fernandez, both of them kind of aged up in the Masters division right after COVID. And the top two players at the top table over there. I've known Caleb for a while. Good player, great kid. So it was really, really exciting to see, a younger crowd of individuals that kind of like made the name for themselves during COVID. And Vinny Fernandez, the winner, playing Giratina Lost Box, beating Caleb's Charizard in finals. It was really cool because Vinny's brother Gabriel in 2023, we went over his list on the podcast after Worlds, won the Seniors Division World Championships with Lugia and the Weirdeer.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really cool to see both of these young players, like especially this younger generation of kids, like move up and through. We're kind of like in the boomer stage, Sean, where we're seeing like the old people. And I don't want to say like pushed
The old
out
people,
because they're
the people in their late 20s and early 30s, the
yeah.
old players.
We're starting to see this new generation of players like come up and come in, and it's just really, really exciting to see to me. And we had the money match of Bradner and Gearheart. We talked about that a little bit on here. I'm ready to see the money match of the Fernandez brothers and the Scholes brothers. That's what I
Oh,
want
just
to
doing
see.
like a like sort of a two-headed giant, a tag team, a doubles tennis, if you will, of Pokemon
Yeah.
TCG. I'd like that.
I think that would be sick.
Yeah.
If Azul or somebody could organize that, I think that'd be a lot of fun too. Because all four of them are not American as well. The Fernandez brothers are Brazilian, so they're originally from Brazil. So I think that would just be cool for like an international audience as well.
That would be dope. I second that opinion. The one thing I will also say is I heard, I didn't watch this, but Vinny, who ended up winning the event with Giratina, in game three of the finals, he prized three of his Giratina Vs? Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, he did end up prizing that. I remember seeing that because that I don't know if it was exactly game three, but I know that in one of the games, in especially the top eight, he prized three Giratinas, and I think he still won that game
Yeah,
too.
that's what I saw, like, on Verbank. People were like, they posted that picture and they were like, oh, what a way to go out on the final, or whatever. And then underneath it, somebody was like, and come back, or like, it's just people commenting on the post when it was made, like, rip, and then commenting afterwards being like, JK.
It's crazy how like in Pokemon you can have something like that and just absolutely come back in a game, right? Especially with Giratina's early game pressure, with the Pokemon that you have different options with like Cramorant and Sableye, like those are really, really good to be able to find those smaller Charmanders, right, in that matchup. And just be able to take knockouts early without the use of Giratina V and then just power it up and then slam the Star Requiem right on a Charizard.
Yeah, I'm like looking at the list. I'm like, well, because I didn't watch. I was like, maybe he has Hisuian Heavy Ball. He does not play Hisuian Heavy. So I don't know how it happened. I'm sure somebody might comment on the YouTube, but my gut says that it was probably Cramorant, the little bird, putting in work to get his first Giratina out of the prizes. And I'm like, whew, oh my gosh.
Plays two super rods,
That
though.
helps.
Super rod. I did also see that there was a Maridon. I think it was this one. This might be fun to some people. It is this Maridon. It has the Drapion V in it. So Drapion V coming back into lists, Sean.
This is an interesting Maridon.
It is running the Peony as well. The Peony, very, very cool supporter card. This one specifically doesn't have it, but I know Andrew Mahone, he was like in the running to make top 16 in his final round. He played against Maridon with Drapion V and Peony, but they also had two super rods. So he lost like his set in like six turns. Because of Drapion V, just constantly getting back Drapion V. So really, really cool, especially, you know, if you want to see like a new version of Maridon as well. This one playing multiple Raichus, multiple Iron Hands, no Raikou, but two Mew EXs as well. Really, really good in combination with the Peony, I will say.
That's no Raikou is really interesting, but I guess your whole thought process is between Peony and just some of the other, like, Squawkabilly, Lumineon, and even Mew, you're really trying to go for, if I need to get energy on fast, it's either going to be Maridon taking out some big basic or Iron Hands taking me two extra prizes on something small,
Or
and
Raichu
then
taking out the big
or
Pokemon.
Well, but Raichu takes out, like, the really big stuff, right? Like,
Oh
Raichu takes out Charizard. Raichu will take
yeah.
out whatever. So it's like big basics, Maridon, little dudes, Iron Hands, huge things, Raichu, and then, Mew specifically,
Mew.
Drapion.
Yeah,
Just,
just
yeah, Drapion.
Mew. I mean, you could also does I actually need to reread this. The electric generators. Oh no, it's only for bench lightning Pokemon.
Yeah,
And then
now,
Flaffy can go anywhere, but
yeah, the Mareep can go anywhere, and you do run a double turbo. So there are games, and I'm sure I've played Maridon, like Mew EX is actually a really sneaky little attacker in certain matchups. Like, if you are playing against the Zard, and you're in a situation where you need to use Charizard's own attack against itself, you certainly can. I don't know how you get to that. I'm sure there's a way that you get to that 330. You might need to be on the prize math correctly for that, which sometimes is hard to do because Charizard is not going to want to hit any single prizers, but you get my point. But yeah. That, yeah.
some cool list for the largest regional ever. 2,133 players in there. So congratulations to the players. A couple weeks until Knoxville. I think it's 2 weeks until Knoxville. So maybe things will shake up by then. I feel like you gotta have an answer to Garatina. Because now it's the second straight regional that Garatina Lost Box has won.
Well, I don't know if these cards will be legal for then, but I was going to say, speaking of answers, there's actually...
Oh, yeah.
there's one card in Paldean Faith that we'll get to very shortly that I actually think could be an answer for some decks. But, Jake, before we move directly into that, we wanted to quickly touch on the A-spec cards. We kind of have been doing this constantly, but
the last several weeks.
Yeah. We got a video out of Japan that I believe Pokebeach was kind enough to put onto their YouTube channel that just basically shows off the holofoil pattern. So you can give it a quick watch here and get a look at how shiny are these A-spec cards going to be.
And for the audio listeners, Sean, you can go ahead and play. The audio listeners that can't see the holo pattern, think of like a radian pattern, right? Where it's like the crossing lines into like diamonds kind of deal, but like more intense. Because it's around like the border as well. The border where it says A-spec and stuff also kind of has that. And also the pink part, like the base, also has like a slight holo pattern that's the same as well, like the crossing diamonds. I didn't notice that until we were recording right now. Just like the whole card is about this like diamond crossing pattern, like a radiant Pokemon almost. So I think they look really good. I think they're cool. I like that they're neon pink. I think that's just fun and different. But they're item cards, so they're not the huge collector's value, I guess.
I think these are like awesome design for like, if you're going to do something that's really special, like radiants are, they do stand out a decent amount, you know, the holo pattern on them, you know, but like, you know, at a glance when you're like looking through your deck, it can be hard maybe to like overlook it. There's no way in the universe that you overlook when you're doing a deck search. You overlook
but
your
A-spec. Sean, what about fairy type Pokemon?
They don't have pink borders. They don't got pink borders though.
And fairy Pokemon don't exist anymore.
That's true. Big sad.
They axed it.
So yeah, I mean, this is the spirit of all fairy Pokemon in A-spec. So if you loved fairy Pokemon, if you loved that big pink energy in your decks, then grab yourself your favorite A-spec and try to reminisce.
I actually don't know. I think like if you play Arceus, right, and you don't have like a specific colored attacker, like let's just say you're running like Slaking V's. Maybe you don't want to run Melanie, right? Can you use fairy energy? Is it legal? No, it's not.
Fairy energy is no longer legal to use in standard format. It was legal even after they stopped printing fairy cards. Fairy energy was still legal for as long as fairy Pokemon remained.
But
once the last set of fairy Pokemon remained, then the energy itself became not playable, which does matter for certain cards. Like there are like cards like Smeargle that have attacks that say that based on the different types of energy. So that would obviously add another option, but it's no longer legal.
Unfortunate. So, yeah. They should allow it, so then Smeargle could be better, I guess, because it's not very good anyways.
And you could just run, you know, gold fairy energy for a meme. That'd be great.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could just run fairy energy, and that would just be a little nice touch that only some people would really understand. But, Sean, one thing that people do understand is that shiny Pokemon are a big hit in the Pokemon trading card game. So, Paldean Fates is going to be coming soon in the Pokemon trading card game. When's the exact date?
Friday. Oh, 26th, I think. I'm pretty sure it's the 26th. If you want to Google that real quick, Jake, but I am pretty sure it is Friday the 26th.
I know that it's coming soon because I know that all the content creators who got Paldean Fates are opening it up on the 26th. So usually in the past it's been later than that. But yeah, we'll be available beginning the 26th. So you're right on the money.
Hey, there we go.
According to Google.
And there'll be like some, like with all these sets, there'll be some products that come out 2 weeks after that or whatever, but I think you'll definitely be able to get the ETBs. Those are always like the first wave of release. Like, so there'll probably be ETBs. I don't know all the different types of products, but they're probably ETBs, maybe some like pin collection things, right? Like it's always something like that.
I do like the pin collections usually. Yeah.
I've got a whole like thing of pins. Ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got like a whole thing of pins on the wall from all these pin collections I've bought.
I have my Metapod pin that Sean gave me. Shout outs to the Metapod podcast. But there's a lot of cards that are coming in this set. Now, to be fair, most of this set is reprints, but there are a bunch of new cards in here as well that we can talk about, some better than others. Like, as much as I want to talk about Toadscruel and Fortress EX, unfortunately, they're just reprints, so whatever. But we have a new Terra Grass type Pokemon. Sean, do you even know what this Pokemon is?
Espartha.
I think it's Espathra. I was gonna say, do you know what this Pokemon is? Have you seen this before?
I haven't. This seems like a new one, Jake. It seems like a new one.
It is one of the new ones. Usually a psychic type, but now being a Terra Grass type through the Terra Stall effect. So it does have that kind of like bench barrier self type ability where you cannot use an attack like Radiant Greninja on it to do damage if it's on the bench. It is a stage one evolving from Flittle, I believe it's called. Another Pokemon you probably don't know, but it has the ability Dazzling Gaze. As long as this Pokemon is in the active spot, attacks used by your opponent's active Pokemon cost colorless more.
It's interesting.
And then for one psychic energy, use Psyball. 30 plus damage does 30 more damage for each energy attached to both active Pokemon. So this is a really interesting card, in my opinion, Sean, because Charizard is a big deal and Roaring Moon is a big deal. Guess what happens when a Espathra terrestrial grass type does when it hits it?
Well, assuming that I'm trying to do the math. So if it does 120, so say that Roaring Moon's got 3 energy and you have 1 on this guy. So that's 4. 120 times 2 is 240. Charizard is the problem, though, because 240 is still not enough to take down the Charizard.
But Charizard has 2 energies on it, right?
Yeah,
Charizard has 2 energies.
Plus 1 on you.
Oh, so yeah. 3. So you're saying it's so less than Roaring Moon.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. Sean, we have accelerators in the format that we could potentially use.
Reversal.
Long live. Yeah, reversal energy is also something. This is an evolved Pokemon, a stage 1. That could work on that. We're also getting that other... well, the A-Spec's not coming this set, right?
No.
A-Spec's aren't coming this set.
But in the future,
set. Soon. Yeah. In the future, there will be other kind of dual energy cards that work
alongside
it.
But that only works on stage 2s, the A-Spec.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So maybe that wouldn't
work. Sad. But the one thing I will say, Jake, does the thing it is evolved from, is the Pokemon it evolves from psychic type?
Yes, it is.
So you could, I'm not saying this is good, but you could put this in a Gardevoir deck. You attach the energy to the psychic type before you evolve it, because it takes psychic energy. Then you evolve it, so it's fine. You don't have to attach any more energy, and then you do your attack.
The Flittle, though, Sean, this is going to be unfortunate. It has
only
30 HP. Yeah, it has 30 HP,
it.
But there are other Flittles in the format. There is a 50 HP Flittle that you could potentially use from Paradox Rift. So.
You know what? Throw a bravery charm on that boy. Just do it. just get it done.
There are a couple different options that you can do in there. You could use Zatu. Zatu accelerates to any bench Pokemon, right? It's not restricted by type or anything like that, just the bench. So that could be something that you do. And that's also a draw supporter
that's
type
true.
Thing. So
I like that.
There's
I
a
like that.
couple, yeah. I mean, it would definitely be a meta counter. It probably would lose to a lot of other things. But if you can beat Charizard and you can beat Roaring Moon, which would you even beat Roaring Moon? Because Roaring Moon just one hit KOs. If you just attack versus Roaring Moon, like,
Well, it
would you just
depends,
win?
right? It depends, because if Roaring Moon, the only way they one hit KO you is to do all that damage to themselves, right? So if you were able to build a deck that could sprinkle in other single prize attackers that just do the, or like, terrible idea, Meowscarada deck with an Espartha, like there's a world, right, in which you can make it work. For me, the making active Pokemon's attacks cost one more. I think right now it's an ability that Path to the Peak turns off, so Giratina V-Star doesn't care probably, but everything else that doesn't play Path to the Peak, this is really annoying.
There's a lot of even the Charizard and the
Oh
Roaring
yeah.
Moon, right? They need four energies on Roaring Moon, which
Yep.
four, five, that would be 150, 300.
Oh,
So
so that's my thing. It's like I think that then that extra energy, these decks are so streamlined that like getting three energy onto a Roaring Moon, especially like early in the game, like, oh, it's hard but not impossible. You move that up to four energy and I don't know, maybe things start to fall apart. Charizard, you can get three energy on Charizard, but the second you start
But
putting
that
all
means
three
that
energy.
other energies, yeah, that's other energies not going on other Pokemon.
Exactly. So, and then you think about like Lost Box or any of the decks that rely on Mirage Gate. Like if you can't get around this ability and you're relying on Mirage Gate, like, okay, your Cramorant does nothing. Your Sableye needs two energy, get out of here. Like it's a problem.
I think this will be cool. I'll try to play it probably, maybe.
It's, I think it's like, I don't know, maybe it'll be great, but I think that it's probably like, who knows? You could build something fun and then surprise people at locals, probably.
Who knows? The Charmeleon in there, I feel like the Charmeleon is probably a really good one to potentially put in Charizard decks if you play one of Charmeleon. This
Yep.
one having two retreat costs, I think the one that people are playing has a one retreat cost overall, but this ability has Flare Veil. Had to say that slowly. Prevent all effects of attacks used by your opponent's Pokemon done to this Pokemon. So can't be Sableye hunted, right?
True.
Could be a problem. Can't be,
Chris Elliott.
can't be Cresselia. Like, there's a couple different reasons why I feel like you would want to play this Charmeleon if you're playing Charmeleon.
It's so it may be that if you're running a Charizard deck that runs one Charmeleon, consider this new Charmeleon. I actually want to talk about this Camerupt real quick. I'm going to skip over the Magmortar. I think it's all right, but not amazing. But I'm going to talk about this Camerupt because I did build, Jake, a few GLC decks. I haven't built a fire one yet, but I have a suspicion that this Camerupt is not is really good in GLC. So it's 130 HP stage one. I know fire decks usually prioritize, from what I understand, basic attackers. That's usually like their goal in GLC, but for three energy, two fire and a colorless, you do 120, and you can discard a fire energy from the Pokemon to do 120 more damage. So for three energy base and then discarding one, which fire doesn't really care about discarding one usually, 240 damage is no joke.
And especially when you talk about the different accelerants there are in fire decks and GLC, you know, you have Welder. You can only have a one of Welder, but you can get that Welder back sometimes in a couple different ways. You have Magma Basin in there. You have things to find fires like Giant Hearth, right? And then also, what was the card that I was just thinking of? The Charizard, right? The Charizard that's popular in some of the fire decks that doubles fire energy, so you would only need two to be able to get this camera up going and doing the extra damage. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it could be all right. Could be an inclusion in there.
I'm getting into DLC, and I when I was looking through, I was like, Yo, 240 is pretty good. That's pretty good.
I mean, it is a pretty good number. I mean, that's why I like Wailord.
Yeah.
When we were talking the other week about GLC and I was so high on Wailord, that's why Wailord is so good. And like the grass decks where they have like uncapped damage potential, you know, like getting in the 200s is a pretty good attack.
What's the next card on your list, Jake?
I'm gonna just mention this Frigibax right here for all the Chin Pal players. This is a new Frigibax, 70 HP basic water Pokemon. It does have two retreat, but its first attack for one water energy is collect, draw a card. I don't know. I feel like it's pretty good.
Yeah. I
I
mean,
mean,
if
you
you start
never
with a
really,
Frigibax and
yeah, you.
it's stuck in the active because you couldn't get Chen Pao, it's fine.
Or I mean, just like stuck in the like, let's say you put down like two or three Frigibaxes turn one, right? You're not ready to attack in like going second, right? First turn because you don't have a Bax Calibra on the field. So instead, you could maybe like put a Frigibax up there, attach a water energy to it, use collect, and then more than likely it's going to be knocked out, and that also gets you an energy in the discard pile for your superior energy retrievals,
That's
you know?
good. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I thought it was cool.
No, definitely. Like, I think, the point is if you're one of those people that you're committed to a deck and you want like the most optimal version, little things like this sometimes matter. Like think about all the different people playing that one of Ralts that turns off an attack. So
Yeah, exactly.
the only other card that, not only other, the next card for me is this Kilowattrel. I'm gonna mention it because it is a United Wings buddy. I know there's a lot of love out there for United Wings still, like in the fringes of the local scenes, probably. So this one has a single colorless attack, United Thunder, 10 to one of your opponent's benched Pokemon for each Pokemon on your discard that has the United Wings attack. So really good. It's less damage output because it's only 10 per,
And it's one energy.
but yeah, it is one energy, which is I guess awkward. But I guess you could use the darkness energy on it, right? Because you're playing
Yeah, it's
Murkrows.
because it's a colorless. Yeah, it's a colorless energy.
So you can play it with the darkness energy, and then you can snipe, which I don't think, like, a lot of people might play Manaphy, but people may forget that United Wings has a sniping attacker now.
Well, I mean, there's no up until this point,
Yeah.
right? There is no sniping attacker in United Wings. So it is probable that you could just slap the Kilowattrel down, you know, not reveal it, and then slap it down and just finish off a Pokemon. Because the problem with United Wings is right now is you're not knocking out all the time. So it could be a really good finishing move.
Yeah. So just a shout out there if anybody's playing United Wings still.
Another shout out to the Zatu. I'm going to bring back the Zatu and mention it as
Yeah.
many times as possible in the Psychic. It's the same Zatu that I was mentioning earlier, accelerating basic Psychic energies, but with a new art. And I love the new art. He's like
It's great.
vibrating, basically.
I saw this
It's
and I was
Psychic
like,
waves.
I saw this card shake and I was like, wait, this is the exact same card.
It is.
But it caught my eye because it was new art. And I'm like, because most of the reprints do not have new art, as far as I can tell, or a lot of them don't. So weirdly, this one just got new art, which was like, oh, okay, cool, I
It's a
guess.
really cool art. If you are interested in the illustrators, it's by Dom. So really
Okay.
good art by Dom, in my opinion. It's definitely one that I'll just like buy as a single and then have it forever. And if I ever play a Zatu deck in my Espathra, I'll bling it out with the new Zatus, to be honest.
Then you have the new Curlia, but no, that's not even new. Just
It's
keep
not the
going.
Mirage
Nope.
Gate Curlia. It's
Nope.
not the Refinement Curlia. It's a Curlia.
It's a Curlia. It's a bad Curlia for those decks. I'm trying to see if there's anything.
If you want to scroll down to
Ooh.
Gimme Ghoul, or if you want to do Mr. Mime for or
Yeah.
Mr. Mime or Mime Jr.
I think this might be it's probably a typo because this is not Mr. Mime. It's probably Mime Jr.
Yes,
But
the Pokemon is Mime Junior.
yes. Or at least, the Pokemon in the art is. But it actually, this is really interesting. So, it's a free retreater because it's one of the baby Pokemon. I think they're usually free retreaters, right? Super tiny, 30 HP. It's not hanging in there for long. But for zero energy, you can attack with Mime Games. Your opponent chooses one of their Pokemon's attacks, use that attack as this attack. This is wild for a lot of decks who their main attacker only has one attack. Mm-hmm. And so, like, yes, your opponent gets to choose the attack, but if you're playing a single prize deck like Charizard, and this is your last prize, and you just need to take two prizes, well, guess what does 330 damage? Mime Jr.
Mime Jr.
Bruh, I think this is, I didn't even notice, this card is good in single prize decks.
It's also a free retreater, right? Yeah. So if you're not worried about being sniped or Sableye, Lost Mind, or anything like that, like, this guy can roam free. I'm really curious how this interacts with V-Stars. So, like, in Giratina, right? If I have a Giratina up in the active and my opponent brings up a Mime Jr. and announces this Mime Games attack, and I get to choose one of the
attacks,
the Pokemon in the attacks, one, if I say Star Requiem, well, here's another thing too. Like, if I have Star Requiem previously, I still technically have Star Requiem as an attack. I just can't use it. So then I could force my opponent to use their own, like, V-Star power.
If that player doesn't have 10 cards in the Lost Zone, does the attack do nothing?
Yeah, would the attack then do nothing? Or is it like you can't technically use the attack? So like it's not a valid an option target. Of choice. Because, like, when you, I think it's like, and I don't know if this is, we're getting into the nitty gritty of the rules. Like, there's no reason that anybody should ever have to think about this. But if we're like when you announce an attack like Lost Mine, and I just know this from other people, like, some people have thought they've had 10 in the Lost Zone and they announce Lost Mine. Yep. And then they end up using Scratch on Sableye. I think it's within the rules because, like, it's you enter the attack phase and then you announce an attack. And if it doesn't work, you can change the attack. So if it, so if you chose Star Requiem and I'm like, no, you can't because I don't have 10 in the Lost Zone, then it would move to Lost Impact, right? But then does Lost Impact work because I don't have two energies on the Pokemon to put in the Lost Zone? Is it a cost to use the attack or is it
an effective attack
that happens after you use the attack?
Because technically your attack is Mime Games. Your attack is not Star Requiem. Your attack is not the other one.
But it says use that attack as this attack. So therefore, if I lost Impact, I need to put two energies in the Lost Zone, right? But I think it's that you do, it's, it doesn't say like in order to use, so like Star Requiem literally says you can use this attack only if you have 10 or more cards in the Lost Zone. Lost Impact doesn't say you can only use this attack if you put two energies attached to your Pokemon in the Lost Zone, right?
I guess there's probably a bunch of rulings for this, actually.
So if you have no energy on the field and you Mime Games Lost Impact, can you do 280 for free?
I don't know.
That's an absurd ruling.
the question that I would ask is, can Mew EX do that?
Oh, yeah. Genome hacking.
That's another. Right. It's the difference being you are choosing the attack with genome hacking. Your opponent is choosing the attack with this Mime Jr. But the end result maybe is the same. I don't know. Hey, Justin, or any of the people who know better.
The thing with Mew EX is that you have to have energy on it to attack.
You have to have energy.
Because it's a three-cost attack to use genome hacking to copy another attack.
You have to have energy on the Mew EX to use the Mew EX attack. But the other requirements, like Star Requiem, you might not have 10 in the Lost Zone. So even though you meet the energy requirements to declare the attack, you still don't meet the additional requirements for that attack, let's say.
But in Lost Impact, you would have to Lost Zone your energies on the Mew EX.
You would Lost Zone two on the field. You don't have to Lost Zone those, but you would Lost Zone two energies somewhere.
So, but hypothetically, if Mime Jr. had no energies on the field, does the game just explode? What happens?
When this comes out on TCG Live, I urge everyone to pair up against your favorite Giratina players, throw a Mime Jr. down and see what happens.
No, because it's not going to work. It's not going to work day one. No shot. This is my new favorite card right now in the Pokemon trading card game. This is my new favorite. Aerodactyl, move over.
I kind of want to build a 4-copy Mime Jr. deck and just be like, my deck is your deck.
We are the same.
Yes. Oh, anyways, we've what talked a lot about Mime Jr., but I actually think this card is really good in single
prize decks. I think it's a very interesting card. I don't know if I would call it good, but it's definitely a card that will catch your opponents off guard.
Yeah. Mime Jr. was a surprise. I was not expecting to like that card this much.
The absurdities. That's what this podcast is all about.
Right. I'm looking through the rest of the psychics. I don't really see.
I like Gimme Ghoul. If you want to scroll down to Gimme Ghoul, he's down.
He's down. Okay.
This is a Gimme Ghoul. It's 50 HP, right? Because the Gimme Ghoul that people are playing are like, what, 30 HP? Or they're low.
Yeah, they're tiny. They're super tiny.
Yeah, they're tiny. But this one has a colorless, regardless of what the HP is, 50 is good for Gimme Ghoul. The attack for one colorless, Coffer Conceal. Flip a coin if heads during the opponent's next turn, prevent all damage from and effects of attacks done to this Pokemon. So
it's good.
It's also really interesting because it's not only like prevent all damage, right? And we see in like Lost Box decks and stuff, you know, you could talk about like Boss's Orders, you could talk about Escape Rope and stuff. This also says effects from attacks done to this Pokemon.
Yep.
So this is not only when it's like in, I read this as in like not only in the active.
If it leaves the active, the effect.
Yeah. Fizzles. I think it continues it with it. It fizzles.
Yes. Well, that's how all attacks like this work. The second they leave the active spot, and it goes for both people's Pokemon, like, you know, the attacks that say you can't use this attack. The second it leaves the active, whether you move it out or your opponent does with the boss, that effect kind of like, oh, What happened last turn? I don't know.
That's real sad. But, that's really sad.
But no, I still think this is really good because to the point of like, you're starting off the game, you play this Gimme Ghoul, right, down. You would rather it not die if you're playing, you know, if you're playing Goldengo. You could take a chance with this. This is totally worth just flipping a coin, taking a chance. If it doesn't work, it's the same thing that was going to happen before, which is your Gimme Ghoul gets knocked out. But if it does work, what is your opponent going to burn a boss's order to boss up what is most likely another single prizer? That feels dumb.
I mean, the thing about it that I like about it too is that like now, even though that you pointed out the effect doesn't work exactly how I want it to, they would still be burning a vital resource to be able to get this thing out and take something else, which may be just enough value to keep it in decks, right? Put it in your decks.
Yep. This is the kind of thing where it's like, if you're not playing TM Evolution or some other turn one attack thing, and this Gimme Ghoul is in your active, like, play this Gimme Ghoul because it is just better. It only offers upside. The downside of doing this attack and failing is the same exact game state you were going to be in anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Just go for it.
Just do it. In terms of the fighting Pokemon, I didn't really see too much in the fighting, but I did want to talk about Great Tusk EX. Has the ability Quaking Destruction. This is a fighting type basic ancient Pokemon, 250 HP. If this Pokemon is in the active spot at the end of your turn, discard the top 5 cards of your deck.
Interesting.
I don't think we've seen an effect like this.
No, this is weird. Like, we've seen some self-mill stuff before, like when you attack usually, but not just an ability that just sits there. Do you want to say what its attack does, though?
The attack for fighting in 3 colorless, so 1 fighting, 3 colorless, Great Bash. It does 260 damage, and it's not affected by any effects on your opponent's active Pokemon. So, really high amount of damage. Also mills a lot of cards at the end of your turn. 5 cards is nothing to slouch at, right? I've played a lot of control in my days. This is a really wacky card. Also can jive well with Professor Sada's Vitality. right? Because you get some energies in the discard and then activate Professor Sada to put some energies on and then accelerate.
Now, I'm going to say what I think this card might actually be better for, Jake. If you are
Okay.
playing a control deck or stall or, some combination of those two strategies, something that you want to get your deck as low as possible, as quickly as possible to get into some sort of loop. Great Tusk plus Bravery Charm is nuts. 300 HP.
What if you did like Great Tusk and Professor Turo,
But that's not, yeah,
right?
it's
Like to
exactly.
pick him up every time.
You play Great Tusk, you play Turo if you know your opponent can't hit over 250. You play like four Bravery Charms, and then you can even play like the Rosa card that gets the Bravery Charms back into the deck. I don't know, like I don't know if this card is good as an actual like attacking deck, but there's a world in which you put four of these out and nothing else, so your opponent can't boss around the effect of you milling yourself. And then maybe you play the new ancient A-spec card that lets you draw for each ancient Pokemon you've got. So you're just like powering through your deck in like three
How
turns.
fast can you deck out? That's
I
the
seriously.
name of the game. You could like, and I'm thinking of expanding now. Like, what if you used Great Tusk, right? You had a Great Tusk deck, although expanded's kind of weird, so you'd probably like lose before this ever happens. But you have Great Tusk and you have a whole bunch of cards that like get cards from your discard pile back into your hand, right? And then you use Unknown Hand to
Oh
win the
my
game.
gosh. Just play yourself four fire crystals, four fiery flints, like just get all that energy right
Four
back into
line
your
of
hand.
Salazzle.
Right, exactly. I don't. Hey man, I'm just saying like this card is probably not good as a normal thing that you would think it would be, but I
Probably not
there's
good at
some
all.
yeah, but there's something, it may not be good at all, but I don't know. I see some really degenerate players making use of this ability.
That's so wild, ditching just five cards right away. That's so funny.
Well, let's go to switch your active. Does this Gengar, is this anything? Once during your turn, you may switch your active with one of your bench.
Well,
You get a free
I mean, it's
switch.
really, really cool. It's really nice to be able to do those free switches. The problem is that Gengar is a stage two. It's not like the other Gengar in Hisuian Zoroark where you can just cheat it out from the discard pile into the active. So not necessarily, I would say. I would say
Yeah, that's fair.
you'd rather play Mabostiff. There's a reprint of the Mabostiff from Paldea Evolved. Scroll down, Sean. It's one of the newer Pokemon that you probably don't know about.
Well, this switches out your opponent, not
Yeah,
yours.
but I think you'd rather just play that. I think you'd rather just do that if you're looking for like a switching effect, even though it's not for you, which I understand what you're saying. It's not for you, but I don't know. I just feel like you'd rather play the Mabostiff if you're looking for a dude that switches things.
That's fair. I'm thinking though, like this is also random. Is this, am I going crazy? Is this the first dark type Gengar I've seen?
No, the one that I just mentioned, the Hisuian Zoroark, that one's a dark type. I'm now looking up TCG player.
Wait, no, not Hisuian Zoroark, but like no, the Gengar.
No,
Or
yeah,
the
in
Gengar
the
that's in
Hisuian Zoroark.
Hisuian.
No, that one's a psychic type.
I'm like, am I
Oh,
losing
you
it?
might be. No, there was the Gengar V. You remember the single strike one?
Right, yes, yeah. But like this
But
is weird, isn't it?
to your point, there's not that many.
Yeah, like well, this is a dark type Gengar and I'm confused. Now maybe I wonder if they reshuffled typings a little bit, or maybe Gengar just kind of floats between dark and psychic now, and then it's just up to the designers how they want to
Well, I mean, like it's a
go.
ghost type, right? And we've seen ghost types, I think, have like these like this dark typing before. I mean, it's not generally speaking, because it is a poison type, I believe. In the video games, it gets a lot to psychic, but poison types we've seen also a lot as psychic, like, or I mean,
It's
as
dark,
dark
yeah.
type, like Garbodor, the Hisuian Sneasler, right? So, It was just this turn in the typing rotation, you could say.
I guess. I guess it's surprising. That's all I'll say is that it, as like a normal Gengar, I was like, oh, whoa, dark type, excuse me.
Anyway. It is definitely different. Not something we see often.
Anything? Oh, we can talk about Iron Treads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this Iron Treads here is new. It's a future type Pokemon. 220 HP, metal type. This one has for two metal and a colorless, does 150. And if you attack and you discard a future booster energy capsule, so that tool card attached to it, the next turn, the Pokemon will take 150 less damage from attack. So if, say, you've got like all the health in the world, you're effectively becoming a 370 HP basic.
Just get Roseanne's backup to get the to get those tools back, right?
Play Professor Turo to pick this boy up after he gets hit.
What was the Lana's fishing rod?
Oh, I wonder if we'll ever get something
like that back. Yeah, to get tool cards. That'd be interesting.
Especially since they're their own type now. I could see them printing either a supporter that gets you just tool cards out of the discard into your hand, maybe. But maybe not. We'll see. But I don't know. I thought this one was this is interesting because you can use it with the new Ace spec that we talked about that's coming out in a couple of months that gets energy acceleration. I'm not exactly sure. Like, there is people who really love Dialga V-Star. They focus on energy acceleration as well with cards like is there like a Magneton or something? Magneton.
Yeah.
So love like maybe you play that with this. I'm just trying to think about how you can like chain these together turn after turn. Mm-hmm. It's much harder though, because two metal and a colorless is a kind of weird kind of
as
weird
a one. Former Dialga V-Star aficionado, I don't think three is too bad. Especially on a basic Pokemon, because your deck, if you play it like Magnezone, your deck is like 25 energies.
Fair enough.
So like using Magmazone, looking at the top five, I think it is, and finding, I mean, you really only need like one energy per Magnezone, right? Cause you probably attach one from hand and then, you get the Magnezones going. It wouldn't be that hard to get off. I think finding the tool card would probably be harder. Well, actually, maybe
Town
not
Store.
Because you probably play Arvin or Town Store, because if you're playing Magnezone, you need rare candies, and so Arvin is perfect for it. So
what
yeah,
you're saying is this card might be good.
It might be something that you can have fun with at locals.
Okay. Hey, I'm just saying. We talk about Jake Gearhart. I know that he's probably loving the idea of a metal type Pokemon that you can never kill. Anybody who remembers Luke Metal, Lucario and Melmetal GX.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I don't know. Is this Luke Metal at home, or is this the future of Luke Metal? Who knows?
Who knows? But Sean, the dragon and normal type Pokemon are pretty much all reprints.
Hold on, Jake. The answer to my Iron Treads question was directly below it. Goldengo. Colorless. Never mind. JK, moving on. It's an attack, not an ability. I was like, what? This is Frostmoth for metal.
No. Yeah.
Reading is fundamental. Anyways, we can keep going.
Let's go into the trainer cards in there. Yeah. That gym promo of Atticus. I think we talked about this a while ago when it was first revealed. Yeah. You can use this card only if your opponent's active Pokemon is poisoned. It is a supporter. Shuffle your hand into your deck, then draw seven cards. Very, very interesting. A shuffle draw seven supporter that only works when it's poisoned. Did somebody say Hisuian Electrode? Or is that just me?
Does Hisuian Electrode poison?
Yeah, because more damage with the effects.
I think about it as like a cloth deck. That's how I think about it.
Oh, but you think of it as cloth. But yeah. I mean, I guess it could work for cloth too. But like something like that could be pretty interesting for that deck.
Yeah, shout out to my locals friend who loves Clough, and maybe this is the new supporter, so you don't have to consider like either Iono-ing yourself or researching a way to double turbo energy, because that's big
No,
sad.
like I genuinely think you put
Yeah.
this in cloth decks. Like
I think you're
actually.
right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very high on it.
The next card is new. We'll talk about it briefly. Clive, your opponent reveals their hand. I guess it's information. Draw two cards for each supporter you find there. So you could play this card and draw nothing, which is awful.
I mean, you could, but I feel like generally in the Pokemon trading card game, you always have at least like one supporter in your hand.
Yeah.
Pretty much at all times. Now, I will say, why would you play that over something like Research or Iono, right? I
Yeah.
mean, I don't know if I see it, but if you're in a situation where your opponent can have big hands or whatever, or we get into a meta where you do a lot more supporters, this could be interesting. Might be something you have in your back pocket.
I know that they would never have printed this, but I really wish there was at least a little piece of hand disruption, because it does kind of feel like I think some of the only hand disruption we really have, like consistent ones, are supporters. So like, it's like, hey, your opponent reveals their hand. You know what's going to happen to you next turn, and you could do nothing about it. Draw cards. And it's like, stop. I
Give
need
me
to
a little bit
know.
more. Give me a piece of
Right.
cheese. Come
Like,
on.
let me put one card from their hand on the bottom of their deck.
Yeah.
One, just give me one. Give me one Pokemon. No,
Make it a
they
supporter too.
right.
There is also Moonlit Hill, another gym promo that people are excited about. Once during each player's turn in this stadium, that player may discard a basic psychic energy card from their hand in order to heal 30 damage from each of their Pokemon. So I think people are saying that Gardevoir is definitely playing this.
Yes, Gardevoir is playing this. This also fixes the math for Drifloon. I don't know. I played Gardevoir a lot. Drifloon had the awkward problem of always being on even numbers. Because whenever you attach a psychic energy with Gardevoir's ability, you put two damage counters. Which meant that if you had like Bravery Charm or Luminous Cape nowadays, you could put one of those things on there, but you could only get it up to even numbers of damage, which results in an even, like a not even, they're all even, but like a multiple that the first two numbers are also even, I believe. So if you wanted to hit something like Mew, VMAX, or Charizard, you had to go an extra counter over to get to 340 or to get to 320. But being able to heal 30 damage can move you from an even number energy back down to an odd. So while this is great just in terms of healing, I also think it weirdly fixes math for certain like Pokemon that like, no, I need to be at an odd number now.
There's also an effect of when you use like the Gardevoir to energy accelerate, right? And prepare, because we've seen this time and time again in tournaments with Gardevoir EX. You could move energy to Pokemon in preparation for something like a building up for an opponent's attack next turn or whatever, right? Preparing another Pokemon for attack here in the future if you expect like Path to the Peak. This adds another level of depth to that because like you can accelerate some energies to a Pokemon, right? Heal off some damage. I'm thinking like the Shining Arcana Gardevoir,
Okay,
or
yeah.
whichever the one that does infinite damage and it's the one prizer. Is that Shining Arcana?
Yeah.
You put some damage on that, right? Through the ability, you heal it off a little bit with Moonlit Hill, and now you can have even more energies to accelerate on that. So it's fixing math in the way that you were saying of like putting from evens to odds, but it also helps Gardevoir in like preparations of that kind of style, which is very, I find that
Yeah.
intriguing.
Well, it's also you get to put an energy in your discard, which also
Yeah,
Gardevoir wants to do.
that
So it's like I will also say the evens to odds also matters a lot for the baby Gardevoir or other
too.
ones because their HP is even numbered. So usually you have to stop 20 damage short, and that limits the amount of psychic energy you can put on them. But if you can go to an odd number, that gets you one extra energy on top of whatever you healed for. So it's effectively, I don't know if the math is exactly correct here, but it's effectively a two energy gain that you get off of this one effect.
So if you have, because Shining Arcana God of War is 140, so if
Yep.
you heal, you go to 110,
Well,
right?
yeah. Well, so you're
Or
120,
no, you
and
go
then
to
you go to
90. I'm
90,
sorry. Yeah,
and
you
then
go
you
to 90, so then you
go to
110 and
130.
130, so it is two energies. Yeah,
Yeah.
you're right.
So you can get so much more energy on because you're going closer to the edge. Now we're only going to really get to enjoy this on the Shining Arcana for like a month. But
Oh,
hey.
is it rotating?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Well,
But hey, we got Screamtail. It's
yeah, I mean,
Shining Arcana at
that's a
home.
card in itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a card in itself.
But yeah, I think this is probably one of the cards that for Gardevoir players, this is huge. This is going to be a massive card for those decks. I'll just mention really quickly, Nimona's Backpack is one of the weirdest cards I've seen in a long time.
It makes sense.
Sure. So Nimona, you draw three cards. It's basically hop. It's how. It's your standard run-of-the-mill draw supporter. But this one gets a special backpack that you can put two of those Nimona from your discard pile back into your hand. And the only thing I think, Jake, is there some Pokemon that we don't know about that does more damage based on the number of Nimona you discard?
I don't know about that specifically, but I think the purpose of this card is being like printed in League battle decks,
Yeah.
right? Because I think for especially like the level ones and stuff of the League battle deck series that they do, I think you generally see these like draw three supporters like Nimona, Hop, How, all that stuff. So I think this is a card that is meant to be in something like that in like pre-release kits. As
Yeah.
well, you generally see the draw three supporters in there. So I am willing to bet that for Temporal Forces, our next set, we'll see Nimona's backpack in there.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're almost certainly right. It's well designed for that use case, but
Yeah,
outside of that, I'm just like, what?
it's not for the high intensity people. It's more for us common folk over
Yeah.
here. I do want to talk about Paldean Student though.
Yeah.
I find this to be an interesting supporter. Not that I think that it's good, but I think that it's interesting. There are two different Paldean student supporters, one for like Scarlet, one for Violet, but you can only have a combination of four in your deck, I believe. Actually, wait, no, that's right, because it's basically like an alternate art. Anyways. It has an effect. Search your deck for a Pokemon that doesn't have a rule box. Reveal it. Put it in your hand. For each other Paldean student in your discard pile, you may search your deck for another Pokemon that doesn't have a rule box. Then shuffle your deck. So effectively, you can search for up to four different Pokemon without a rule box in a single turn if you have three in your discard and you play one from hand. I think that's a really cool interaction. I don't, that's
Yeah.
something that we don't see a lot in terms of
Reprint
these supporters.
Battle Compressor.
Please don't. I don't want Battle Compressor in the format. It would be cool for this card for sure, but we don't need it. No.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think it's definitely an interesting effect. Because if you had a way to get all of them, three of them into the discard and one into your hand pretty easily-ish. Then being able to just play one supporter to search for four Pokemon of any type, that's I think actually worth it. That's like one of the weirdest, like you don't normally think of like using your supporter to go get you Pokemon. Like most of the time we use them to like draw cards, get items, get other, whatever. But Pokemon search supporters typically don't see a lot of play. But I think if there comes a card that can do that little combo pretty quickly by like early game. Because that's the thing, this card is for competitive play. For funsies, it's awesome. I'm not gonna give it, for funsies, it's a cool design. But for competitive play, it's really the most useful on turn two, I would say. So if you don't have a way to get the full value out of it to take up four deck spaces by turn two, I'm kind of like, ah. But But I really want them to make it. I want them to make something that does this.
I hope the official translations as well say Paldean students in plural and not just singular, because each of the cards, for all of our audio only listeners, there's four students on each card. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's only one card that we'll talk about else because there's no energies. And there's some reprints like Rare Candy Ultra Ball and Research and stuff. There's a new TM, Sean, that is coming in here. It's called Technical Machine Crisis Punch. Now, remember, TMs, Pokemon Tool Card, unique category. You can attach them on one Pokemon and use the attack that's on it. But then at the end of the turn, you have to discard that technical machine, whether you use the attack or not, whether it's on the bench or the active, etc., etc. So Crisis Punch, for three colorless energies, you do 280 damage. You can use this attack only when your opponent has exactly one prize card remaining.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's nice to really do a punch, right? You know, yeah. take a real big hit. But is it good? I don't know. But is it cool? Yeah.
I mean, look, you have to be playing you kind of got to be playing a specific deck for this card. Mm-hmm. Because the fact that it also gets discarded at the end of the turn means you can't like put it and then discard your hand or like, you know, go through the game normally. It has to be in your hand at the end of the game. But 280 damage is no joke. That's like, them's big numbers right there. And, you know, we talked about Giratina V-Star being like amazing, which it is. It's a great deck right now. And I said, oh, they printed a card just for that. And I honestly, this is kind of a card for that if you're in the right kind of deck, right? You have to be in a deck that you feel like you can consistently get your opponent to one prize card and not two.
I feel like this could run alongside something like this deck that I'm about to DM you on Discord, Sean. One of our locals in Las Vegas played it, Anthony. Ooh. Bruno. I just wanted to shout him out. Got 106, 9-4-2 with this Zoroark deck. Plays the Slowbro in Pokemon Go that says if your opponent has one prize remaining, take two prizes, right? Very, very cool. He said in his games that he announced Slowbro's attack 22 times, 20 times per game at 9-4-2 in Charlotte.
I guess the thought process here is like, because you could use this, because this deck plays reversal energy. So for those of you who don't know, this is a Zoroark box deck.
I'll link it in the description below, whether the show notes or the YouTube, just so then people can like see if they want to look at the deck list, by the way.
Yeah. So you've got like, look, Slowbro is going to be your most consistent way to win. I actually think, as weird as that sounds to say, Slowbro is your most consistent win condition. But, you know, I think there's a world in which your opponent lost zones, lost cities, your Slowbro. I don't even know how it happened. But I don't know. There's a world in which you can't get the Slowbro out for whatever reason. And this technical machine, since it would work with reversal energy, yeah, it still works on any of your two prizer stage ones that you're playing in the deck, which is, you know, and that would take care of a lot of V-Star decks that you need to get through. Or even, honestly, if you were against Charizard and you were able to, you know, boss up, not with this version of the deck, but a boss up in general, a Pidgeot. That's another way through. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think this card has a home in specific decks. If your game plan gets you to one prize against your opponent almost all the time, I think this card lives there as an option. Assuming you can get three energy on as well, which is a whole other requirement.
It's a cool little technical machine that'll come in. I don't know if it'll be played more than Evolution or Devolution, but it is something to note for all of you that love playing wacky decks.
Yep. Jake, that is going to wrap it up for the set review. We can talk, I guess, next week about some of the art that's coming in this. We actually talked quite a while on the cards. I was not expecting
I didn't
that.
expect us to talk
No.
15 minutes about Mr. Mime or Mime
Mime
Jr. or whatever
Junior.
that was. The
Yo, card is
coolest card
goated.
in the set.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna definitely get, an ETB or two of this because not only does it have these new cool cards, but it's got shinies and it's got fancy arts. So what about you, Jake?
I probably won't get any just because just thinking I'm playing multiple card games now. I'm thinking about multiple card
It's
games
true.
more often, and so got to save a little bit. And also I'm going to One Piece Nationals this weekend. So
Ooh,
that's why I
okay.
didn't realize that this set was coming out this weekend.
No, that's cool though. That's awesome.
I'm
Well,
not
good
playing
luck.
in it because I didn't get in, but
It's fine.
it was actually more difficult than Pokemon events actually to get in. Fun fact. So that's
You
crazy.
have to like win a store championship probably to get an invite
No, you
or
had to sign up through the Bandai app.
Okay. Oh, meaning it
Um,
was
I don't know
difficult
if
to
Digimon had
register.
that. And that's how you registered. I mean, you could have qualified through like other events and stuff like that, but not me. And the app wouldn't work. The app,
Oh.
like I was there ready to sign in, and I was re-uploading the app for 2 hours because it kept crashing and I didn't get in the event. But either way,
You're gonna
I'm
have fun
going to
though.
have fun. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm going as a spectator and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to try out Union Arena too, just get into another card game while I'm there. And
Sure.
yeah, maybe I'll get some. Maybe they'll. No, vendors probably wouldn't sell Pokemon stuff over there, and it'd probably be some absurd price. Anyways, I'll get singles. It's cheap.
I think,
Well,
we're living
yeah,
in the cheap era, so.
if you're worried about products like being expensive and stuff, the singles for this set are going to be so cheap. I mean, there's playables like Squawkabillies in there, like Iono's, stuff like that. There's a new art for Iono as well and stuff, and like shiny versions of these Pokemon and stuff. Like if you're worried and you're not super stressed about opening products and stuff, but you want these cards, just get them as singles. They're so cheap. There's so many cool cards in here. Don't stress.
I think the reprint, particularly of Charizard EX, Iono, Squawkabilly, huge. Huge for the set because those cards are not like wildly expensive, but they are like when you're building a deck, you're like, oh, I don't always have them, and maybe I need to get a copy that's like $2 or $3. But, good
Yeah,
stuff.
there's gonna be a new promo of Charizard, and then Charizard is gonna be printed as a card in the set. So there's gonna be a lot of Charizards. Charizard will go down if you want to build a Charizard deck, want to be cool, like me. I've had a Charizard deck built since day one, since I opened like four of them in a booster box.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm one of the cool kids.
All right. Well, good luck to everybody out there with their polls for Paldean Fates. And Jake, sign us off.
Thank you so much for listening to the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon Podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake, that's Sean, and thank you for listening. We will see you next week.